This is the John Favreau's My Daddy podcast with Jessica Garcia and Monica Montoya. Oh, greetings, Monica.
Good grief.
We're starting this off with a high.
Good grief.
Good gracious. You sound like Charlie Brown.
I feel like this entire week has been an episode of Peanuts. You know those little characters, the ones with like the drawing.
Charles Brown. Like I just said. Okay.
Yes, him. Him and his compatriots. Him and his comrades.
Like the dirty one.
Yeah.
And the one with the blanket.
The dirty one, the one with the blanket.
The one who plays the piano.
The girl one.
There's two girls.
The peppermint one.
The
one
dog.
The one that calls the other peppermint one sir.
Peppermint Patty.
Yeah. Peppermint Patty.
Yes, her.
She calls like Charles Chuck.
Chuck.
It's like, hiya, Chuck. Yeah, anyway, the point is that it this entire week has felt like what's-her-face taking the football away from Charles. That's what this feels like.
And all the voices around you are just wah,
wah, wah, wah, wah, wah, wah, wah, wah, wah, wah. Yeah, that's what this week is
feel like. That. Except for last night. We had date night last night.
I was literally about to say, except for last night, when we went to the Glendale Americana, where people live, by the way.
It's shocking to me that you would live above the Americana.
It's disastrous.
If one of you lives above a shopping center.
Can you tell me why?
Could you give us a little insight as to why?
Is
because
it, like,
it just sounds like hell.
Is it like, do you have like the thickest windows in the world?
Yeah, it must be so bright and loud and like Christmas traffic and like, just why?
It's
not like it's economical.
No, it's appalling to me. Also, didn't you tell me that like Blake Lively's mom
does live there? She used to come into the Anthropology there where I worked all the time, and she would just we would be at like the checkout counter and she would just put her phone down and it has pictures of Blake like just open, and she'd be like, you know, my daughter is Blake Lively.
What if it wasn't Blake? What if she had just gotten them from the internet and like posed as Blake Lively's
mother?
It's
definitely her mom because I've seen her online in pictures.
Oh my God. Yeah, insane in the membrane.
Her mom. Yeah.
Insane in the membrane. Hilarity.
Like, my daughter is Blake Lively. Do you have any more of these hats? I'm going to New York tomorrow and I really wanted to get one for my daughter. She's Blake Lively.
Why does Blake Lively?
And we're all just like, Blake Lively doesn't want a fucking pom-pom hat from Anthropology. That bitch has millions.
She has, what she really wants is to direct a Taylor Swift music video for her birthday. All she wants for Christmas is to direct a Taylor Swift music video.
Yeah. She will probably request to return your fucking hat.
Yeah,
I'm so sorry.
She'll be like, I don't need this pom-pom cap. Thank you, Mulher.
Now go back to the Americana whence you came.
Listen, I'm sure Blake loves her mother, but I still cannot believe that she lives in the Americana.
Yeah.
That's like saying that you live inside of a Swiss cheese. Holes everywhere. Light coming in from every direction.
All directions.
Sometimes it's stinky. Sometimes it's crowded. Where are all these holes coming
all
from?
All the bugs can just rip right in there.
Everything can just crawl through hole after hole after hole.
You heard me, Americana.
You're a Swiss cheese slice. It's ridiculous.
I don't take it back.
Anyway, we went last night because we watched a movie for this very episode, for this very podcast. It's a special episode because I don't think we've ever done this before where we went to the movie theater and then watched the movie and then came back and talked about it.
Yeah,
it's never happened.
We've considered it before, but then there's always like, it either is like too much work or it's like we don't know if the movie is going to be good enough to include in the episode, and so we do something safer.
Yeah.
But this one seemed pretty evident that it was going to be good, and I'm glad it delivered.
Oh, it totally delivered. We'll talk about it when we get to it. It's obviously the last movie we're talking about.
Yes.
Because it came out in 2021. Did it really come out in 2021?
Yes, it came out like 2 weeks ago.
No. But I'm asking, like, because you know how some films go to like come out and then they go through the film festival circuit and then they get like released.
I don't know.
I don't know either. Man, I should know this, huh? Oh shit.
It's fine.
It is what it is.
It came out in 2021.
We saw it in 2021.
Correct.
And it was released.
I mean, I've seen a lot of movies in 2021 that were not released.
You know what? We saw it at the Americana in 2021.
Correct.
And it was there, which means it came out recently.
Correct.
So just saying.
And we'll be right back. Now back to the show.
Monica, who are we talking about today?
We are talking about the Juan and only Joaquin Phoenix.
I love him. Tell me more about him.
I love him too. Let me give you a little rundown on Joaquin.
Tell me.
Joaquin Rafael Bottom, a.k.a. Joaquin Phoenix, a.k.a. Leaf Phoenix. So a man of many names, to be honest with you.
Leaf Joaquin.
I want to stress very much so that he just lived in Puerto Rico. He was not a Puerto Rican man.
Got it.
Okay. Okay. He's an American actor, producer, music video director, and animal rights activist.
Who?
I don't know. He did a bunch of music videos like recently.
He's so weird. Continue.
He's such an eccentric boy. He's like the manic pixie dream boy. That's who he
kind of is, and I hate it.
It's kind of crazy. We love and we hate.
Yeah,
we stan and also
we do not stan.
What's the opposite of stan? It's like Natas. Natas.
Nets.
Natas.
I think it would just be stan. It backwards is Nats.
No, stan backwards is N
A
A
T S.
Nets. Oh, dude, I switched a couple letters. That's embarrassing. Listen, you're the one who went to USC.
I did. This is what happens when you have a degree. You can read things backwards.
You're right.
Surprise. It's a special gift.
Can I do the alphabet backwards?
Yeah.
Z, Y, X,
yes.
W, V, T,
you.
See, I'm out. I'm tapping out because
Z, Y, X, W, V, E, T, S, R, Q, P, O, N, M, L, K, J, I, H, G, F, E, D, B, C. Oh, C, B, A. Fuck.
Oh, you tapped out at C.
I got it.
Dude, that's crazy.
Have you been seeing that TikTok going around of that guy singing the entire alphabet song backwards, but not like just by the letters, but with the sounds, like the way they speak in Twin Peaks?
No.
It's horrifying.
I want to show it to me after the
I fact. Don't know if I have it saved, but
I'm going to be honest with our listenership. I do not go on TikTok.
On the TikTok?
I just don't
watch what I send you.
I literally, no, that is the honest truth is I only watch TikToks that people send me and I have to watch it on the Safari app because I don't have the TikTok app.
TikTok.
Tiki 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 tok.
TikTok.
Chick chicky boom chick chicky boom chicky boom boom. My name is Cuban Pete.
Did you know that they wanted to cut that number from The Mask?
No.
Yes. And then audiences were like, no, we'd love
no,
it.
No, it's delightful.
It's the best part of the movie.
It's chick chicky boom chick chicky boom. I love chicky, The Mask. Boom boom.
Chick chicky boom chicky boom chicky boom. Get back boom. To Joaquin.
Yeah, I'm so sorry, guys. Anyway, brief detour. Right back on track. Basically, at this point in the bio, you know that he's Leaf. You also know that he's Joaquin. You also know that he's Rafael Bottom. Mm-hmm. He's a lot of things. Mm-hmm. But what he also was is born in Puerto Rico and raised in Los Angeles and Florida.
Wow.
And he began his career by appearing in television series in the early 1980s with his brother, River. May he rest in peace.
Oh, sad.
God bless little River boy. He went on to star in countless independent films. Daddy Joaquin had an eccentric childhood. I want to start by saying and repeating that he lived in Florida. So already a leg down, I think. And also swamp. Lots to unpack there, to be honest with you. He became an avid break dancer. And he also dropped out of high school when he was sent a dead frog in the mail to dissect for his biology class.
A friend to the animals since day one.
Since day one. and his family joined the religious cult called Children of God and started traveling throughout South America and Puerto Rico in the Caribbean as missionaries.
Good God.
To spread the good God word of this good God cult.
Good God. The children, grace of Gord.
By the children of God.
The grace of Gord.
They basically stopped attending the cult because they weren't down with the like flirtationship you had to have with like the other members of the cult. So they like left. The Phoenixes booked it.
They were like, bye.
And they spent most of their time in LA and then went back to Greensboro. It's kind of an insane story.
Okay, I gotta read more about that.
He also won an Academy Award, or the Academy Award, for Best Actor in 2019 for his role in Joker. I don't know if y'all remember that movie. I do. It's burned into the front of my skull.
And I'll spoil it right now for you. We're not talking about it.
We're not talking about it. He is the real life daddy to a son with named the River. One and only Rooney Mara. And they named him Reva. After his only.
Bravo. Yeah. It's so sad.
So sad. It's not also, not, I don't know why I said his only brother. I meant his only son was named after his brother.
Yeah.
Is what I meant. But man, God bless River Phoenix.
Truly.
Rest easy, Papa.
Truly.
All right, what's our first movie?
Our first movie is Walk the Line. Came out in 2005, directed by James Mangold, screenplay by James Mangold and Gil Dennis, based on the books Man in Black and Cash, the autobiography by Johnny Cash. The rise of country music legend Johnny Cash, played by Joaquin Phoenix, begins with his days as a boy growing up on the family farm, where he struggles under the scorn of his father, played by Robert Patrick. As the years pass, Cash ends up in Memphis, Tennessee with his wife Vivian, played by Jennifer Goodwin, and breaks into the music scene after finding his trademark sound. While on tour, Cash meets the love of his life, singer June Carter, played by none other than Reese Witherspoon. But Cash's volatile lifestyle threatens to keep them apart. I'm obsessed with this movie. I think it's my favorite biopic ever. I'm also just a slut for a good biopic. So
that's,
you know,
true. I too am a slut for a good biopic.
I just love a good based on a true story.
It's and always like, better.
They did such a good job. I mean, Joaquin Phoenix looks uncannily like Johnny Cash.
It's pretty crazy. Yeah.
It's pretty wild. And like the vocal training that he did, they trained with T-Bone Burnett. And
sounded just like him.
Sounded just like him.
Like audiences were shocked that it was him in the credits. Like basically a feat. Like
this
insane.
Is, what I'm going to say is blast is heresy. But there are certain songs from the soundtrack from Walk the Line of Joaquin Phoenix singing that I prefer to the original recordings.
Wow.
Which is... and it's something. I'm a big Johnny Cash fan.
Do you know what's really funny is I've actually heard that quite a lot.
Really?
Yeah, I've heard
a lot
of...
it's so good.
Because, you know, okay, I'm going to start by saying this movie is kind of an icon in itself.
Yeah.
It is a very iconic film.
Yeah.
This movie, you have watched it, your parents have watched it. Even if you don't remember watching it, you've definitely seen it in the background of some diner. Like, it plays... all the time, constantly, and with good reason. It's so good. The chemistry between Joaquin and Reese is electric. I mean, she does an incredible job in this movie.
She won her Oscar for this.
She did win her Oscar for this. Joaquin sadly did not, but he lost, I think, fairly.
Yeah, to Philip Seymour Hoffman for Capote, which,
boy,
you know.
Poor boy.
Boy.
Rest in peace, Papa. Rest easy.
We all do an episode on him soon.
Oh, we will. Yeah. Yeah. And y'all already know our friend Paul. So, you know, we'll eventually get to...
you know, our friend Paul.
Our friend Paul.
Close friend of the fam. Paul Thomas Anderson.
Personal friend, Mr. P. Anderson. PTA.
PTA.
PTA. But anyway, I think that this movie allows Joaquin Phoenix to do something that not a lot of actors get to do, and that is like completely and fully immerse himself in a historical figure.
Yeah.
Which, again, not a lot of actors get to do. Very, you know, if you think about it, there's a very small percentage of films that come out every year mm-hmm. that are, like, based on a true story or, like, a biopic, right?
Right.
Which, I'm just going to say this right now. We say it biopic. People say it biopic. I don't get it.
I don't agree with biopic.
It's, like, it's not, like, the GIF and JIF thing. It's much different than that. You're saying it wrong. Like,
I mean, I guess it would be right if you're going based off of biography and it would be a biopic, but I think of it as like a bio picture.
Like a bio picture, like a biographical picture.
Yeah.
Was that even English?
Biographical.
The biographical picture in the theater. Yeah. but he gets this like unique and rare opportunity to use every tool in his toolbox.
Yes.
To use his voice, to use his body, to use his hands, to really like plant his feet into the ground with this person that was so iconic and so multifaceted, so layered, so deeply ingrained in the America that we know today. And it is just such a beautifully rare experience that I think is a treasure for the audience to see before them.
Yeah. Glorious. And Johnny Cash and June Carter Cash had died so recently when this movie came out. Like, I think they died 2 years prior.
Yeah.
So it was really fresh for the American public. And Johnny Cash and June Carter were huge American icons, but they weren't American icons in the same way that like a lot of other celebrities are, like not even the way that like Elvis was. I mean, obviously Elvis is Elvis, he's huge, but Johnny Cash was like, he was a celebrity, but he was also like well respected by the everyman because he symbolized just like normalcy, I guess. Like the most normal fucking people loved his music because he sang about normal shit, and he sang about how hard life is, and he sang about being in prison, even though he hadn't been in prison yet at that point.
Not yet, baby, not yet.
He was faking it, but it's okay.
It's okay, boo, it's okay.
But like he became sort of like this icon for the people at the bottom of the food chain of society. So like he truly was beloved by everybody, and him as an icon, he didn't mean like star status. He was just kind of like a guy. He was just Johnny, I guess.
Exactly.
But who happened to be a famous musician, which I think is really, really special. And that's exactly how Joaquin played the role. Like, I think he played the role very seemingly simplistically. Like, there's obviously a lot of nuance to the role, but it seemed very easy to him. Like, it just seems like it flowed right through him. And I but that's obviously the marker of good acting, because obviously it wasn't easy to play this role. It's, you know, a huge undertaking.
It really is. And I think being alongside Reese Witherspoon in this movie, I mean, there was so much give and take that they gave each other, that they allowed for each other, and the space that he gave for Reese to shine alongside him, mm-hmm. and the space that Reese gave him, I mean, it just made the movie better. Yes. Neither one of them like tried to like uproot each other or like upsell each other. Like neither one of them tried to be something that they weren't. They were mm-hmm. just there. They were like, they were lovers. They hated each other. They loved each other. They like the entire time you can tell that there was so much history behind these two actors, even though I don't think that they had ever done anything together before this movie.
No, I don't think that they had.
It's just crazy to see them in this element of like true companionship,
yeah.
and being able to provide this incredibly specific experience of two soulmates.
Yeah.
It's just bizarre.
Yeah. While also like telling a very, like, while there is an element of romance to their love story, I guess, their love story has a lot of really like tragic,
like
reality,
like horrific shit,
like a lot of bad shit. Like, it's not a romantic story about how they got together. They went through a lot together. He cheated on his
drugs,
wife.
Infidelity.
He was on drugs. Like, so much fucking shit happened, and he treated her like shit,
garbage.
A lot of the time, up until he started getting sober. I mean, obviously, he was like an addict for his entire life. He never completely got sober, but that was part of their relationship. And I think the movie acknowledges that in a very truthful way. They're not saying like, yeah, this is like the North Star for relationships, but these people are in love, and so we're just going to tell the story.
Pretty much.
And I mean, I respect that, because that is an acknowledgement of like, not every relationship is perfect. Not every story is perfect. And like, Johnny Cash was a lot more like his biggest fan base, aka people in like prison and blue collar people. He's a lot more like those people than anyone I think really remembers a lot of the time.
Oh, 100%.
And Joaquin like constantly reminds you of that in his performance, that he's like just a dude.
Yeah. And it's also like, you know, Johnny Cash, obviously a famous country music singer.
Mm-hmm.
I think that Joaquin really like honed in on that, because a lot of country music is just story, like I mean, music in general is storytelling, but yeah, specifically like country music, folk music, like that kind of music is just people telling the stories that they tell each other in the bars,
right?
That they tell each other on the ranches, that they tell each other in their living rooms. Like that's really all it is, mm-hmm, is them like with their beer and their whiskey chilling by the fire, like telling this story.
Right.
So it needed to make sense. The choice in the actor needed to make sense and be really down to earth and yes, be very, very like unapologetically ordinary.
Yeah.
But there was so much extraordinary in his ordinary that I think made this movie unbelievably charming and heartbreaking and wonderful. Yeah. Like it's an iconic film.
Yeah, it is. Cause I mean, like you said, Joaquin is so grounded, like as a person. And I mean, he's made that kind of reputation for himself in the yeah, public eye of being this.
He has a deep distrust in the media.
He hates the media. He's a super strict vegan. Like he has a lot of strong feelings about a lot of things, and whether you agree with him or not, he's very authentically himself and is also very grounded, I think, in reality and like humanity and things like that, and is trying to navigate. He is an actor, is trying to navigate the world of like celebrity while also navigating the world of art, which I think very weirdly and perfectly parallels Johnny Cash, who's trying to navigate becoming famous while also is just like a country boy with a family. And he is very quickly thrust into stardom and he's excited about it and he's proud of himself. And obviously he loves his music, like he is an artist, but he's also like, I don't fucking know how to straddle these worlds. And it's really fun and beautiful and also kind of sad sometimes to watch his character and Joaquin's acting like shift depending on which of his lives he's like inhabiting at different parts of the movie. I think that's one of the best parts of the performance, is that he's able to kind of like straddle all these different places really seamlessly but still be like one cohesive character.
Listen, he's a man of the world.
He's a man of the world.
Puerto Rico, Florida.
The whole world.
He's a man of the world.
I love that movie.
It's an excellent film.
If you haven't seen Walk the Line, you gotta watch that.
If you haven't seen Walk the Line, you've seen Walk the Line. But if you haven't seen Walk the Line, like if you really haven't
I know people who haven't seen it.
It's really good.
It's so good.
Enjoy
it's,
yourself.
Yeah, 10 out of 10 biopic. They put
Reese, lovely.
So beautiful. Just,
we considered doing this for her, but then we remembered we wanted to do a Joaquin yeah, Phoenix episode. So we were like,
Yeah. Yeah.
It's really his movie.
She's amazing. She's so charming. Her voice is beautiful.
I know. Man. God bless you, Reese.
God bless you. All right, Monica. What is movie number two?
Movie number two is Her. It came out in 2013, written and directed by Spike Jonze. Or Jonze.
Or Jones.
Or Jonesy.
That was the name of my cat. Aww, back in the day. After the one from Alien.
Oh.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I
didn't name him.
Oh. That makes sense.
My mom did.
That makes way more sense. That makes so much sense to me now. I was like, you would never name your cat after the cat in Alien.
No, my mom did. Fully.
I'm still not convinced that you've even seen the movie Alien.
I haven't seen it.
There you go.
I just know there's a cat named Jonesy.
There you go. You hate space.
And aliens.
And scary things.
Scary.
It's just not the movie for you, Jessica.
I want to see it.
I know that Sigourney. Sigourney is
if
fabulous.
If I can get through fucking, what's the movie we watched?
That one movie.
Why can't I
the movie we watched together.
In space.
The one where they're in space. They're together in space. It's not Interstellar. It's the other one.
No, the Interstellar. That's the one I'm thinking of.
It was Interstellar? Yeah. Okay, we watched
Interstellar. If I can watch Interstellar. We didn't watch it together, though.
Oh, no, but we watched it.
We did watch it. But if I can watch Interstellar, I think I can watch Alien.
You're right. I agree.
Okay, tell me more about Her.
All right, Her.
She.
Yonzi's movie, Her. A sensitive and soulful man earns a living by writing personal letters for other people. Left heartbroken after his marriage ends, Theodore, played by Joaquin Phoenix, becomes fascinated with a new operating system which reportedly develops into an intuitive and unique entity in its own right. He starts the program and meets quote-unquote Samantha, played by Scarlett Johansson, or Johansson. Is it Yonzi or Johansson? whose bright voice reveals a sensitive, playful personality. Though friends initially, the relationship soon deepens into love.
Bum, bum, bum.
Love. And then it's all about her.
Her. I fucking love this movie.
This is a good movie.
This movie's kind of a mind fuck. It really makes you think about things.
It's a great movie. It's one of my favorite movies on earth is Beginners.
Yes.
And this movie and the movie we're about to talk about kind of have similar vibes.
And the next movie is by the same guy.
Yeah. So Joaquin has a, I think he has like a niche.
Yeah. I mean, he has an indie film vibe, but there are obviously directors who make larger budget indie film style
it's
movies.
True.
Like Her.
And like basically every like A24 movie that's come out.
Exactly. And so he's a really good vessel for
it's
that.
It's true. He's a wonderful vessel for like an absurdist or like yes. kind of quirky or like a little whimsical kind of a moment.
Like genuinely, he would have been great in like The Lobster.
He would have been great in Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind. Yeah. Like any kind like of that. Movie that's like a little wonky, mm-hmm. a little off its rocker, but still rooted in some form of reality.
Yeah.
He's in the movie.
Yeah. Yeah. But his character, I mean, this movie is super fascinating to me. It says a lot about like the future and technology and human relationship. But I think ultimately it's a story about like perception. And we'll get into that once we get into like the later parts of the movie, but like just starting with Joaquin's acting, I think like the character of Theodore is so like soulful and yet very melancholy at the same time, because he is going through a really hard time in his life. And Joaquin has these very like lost puppy dog eyes that are really perfect just on an aesthetic level for a movie like this, where you just see him and his little round glasses
and his mustache. You can't help but like the mustache is a character.
It's iconic.
It's its own character.
I love the poster for this movie where it's just his face
and his mustache. Yeah. So good.
And the colors in this movie.
Oh, beautiful. They're all muted and like,
but vibrant,
but still vibrant, kind of retro, but very much not. It's very hard to explain.
I was reading the trivia about this on IMDb, and they said that they modeled it after Jamba Juice colors.
Oh, bro. I totally see that.
Me too.
Retro, but not.
Jamba Juice.
The mustache and the Jamba Juice. Oh, my God.
I know. But like, and also Joaquin goes through a lot of really interesting beats in the character of Theodore. And you also have to think about like how he is acting with a disembodied voice. And granted, while they were filming, they had the voice of Samantha, but it was originally cast as Samantha Morton. And so the finished product is him acting with nobody, essentially.
Literally nothing.
Because Scarlett recorded her stuff later after the movie was already completed. So it's kind of wild, like the emotional depth he's able to achieve and like the ease he's able to achieve with just a voice. But then again, that makes me think maybe it's even easier to do that, because it kind of just feels like you're alone.
I don't know, because okay, this is what I love about this movie, and this is what I love mostly just about Joaquin in general, is that he only really does stories that are really rooted in what it means to be a human being.
Yes.
And what it means to like have emotions in this big, big world, and like mm-hmm. what is the thing that actually makes someone human?
Mm-hmm.
Is it their feelings? Is it their response to things? Is it their flesh? Like mm-hmm. what is it? And this movie plays a lot with the idea of being human and what it actually means to achieve human connection,
mm-hmm.
which again, Joaquin is such an incredible vessel for, because he is so rooted in his own humanity that he's able to like dig deep enough
right.
to tell that story in an authentic way.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. It's this movie, like I said, is really kind of all about perception, because I would say for the first like 75% of the movie, it's about like what really is human connection. And he's doing a really, really excellent job of convincing you that human connection can be anything that you want it to be.
Yeah.
And it's so fucking perfect that Spike Jonze makes him a letter writer, because his job is to like create falsified human connection in a way.
Exactly.
and to create empathy, etc. And so in a way, he is manufacturing it just like an OS is a manufactured human. But first, because he's a real human, we consider it authentic through him, but not through
AI.
AI?
Yeah. It's fascinating.
And you're just like, okay, yeah. So he's convincing me that it doesn't matter if you're an operating system, if you're AI, whatever the fuck you are, if it's authentic to you, then it's authentic to you. End of story. And if it's benefiting you, fine. But then at a certain point, it stops becoming rewarding because you encounter the same human issues that you would encounter in any sort of human connection, but you're missing like the literal physical human aspect of it. But then he's feeling real things about it. So you're like, maybe it's still real either way. I don't fucking know. I have no idea. That's why this movie's kind of, it's such a mind fuck. And he's the perfect like vehicle for exploration because Theodore as a character so badly wants to be happy.
So badly.
So, it's so like kind of badly. Painful. And he is genuinely happy when he's with Samantha. That's the fucked up thing. Even though she's quote unquote not real, he's really, really genuinely happy. And he's experiencing so much healing that he never got to experience prior to that. But then she dips and he's left with feeling human again. And you're just like, what's real? Yeah, I don't know.
Exactly.
It's a mind fuck.
No, it really is. The thing is, everyone, is there's no response to that because it's all you can think about this movie.
Yeah.
It serves as like it's a great conversation starter, to be honest with you. Like if you were on like a fifth date, I would watch this movie. Just to see where they stand on humanity.
Well, and then they have that whole part where Samantha says, like, you know, the past is only the story of the past that we tell ourselves.
Exactly.
So you're like, oh, okay. So the story that Joaquin has been telling us about Theodore's past is the truth as far as we know. And then mm-hmm. we meet Catherine, his ex-wife. And then played by real life engaged person,
exactly, Rooney Mara.
And she tells us their story of the past that is different from his. And you're just like, well, I guess this is the reality for both of you. So you're both right. But is one of you wrong? I have no idea. So again, it's all about like how you perceive us. And Joaquin does a really good job of kind of like tethering you to a reality.
Any reality. His reality.
His reality, I guess. And kind of being able to go like it's almost like he gets you to feel sympathy for him, but you also understand that like he's flawed and you're okay with it. He's just kind of like holding your hand and he's like, I know I am flawed and I confess this and I am sorry.
That's facts.
Because Theodore's like kind of an asshole sometimes.
Oh, yeah. I mean, obviously.
Yeah.
Him and his mustache.
Him
and his character mustache.
I love how much this movie makes you think. And I love how much his, like, I think that a movie like this, it's kind of like the character is written that way. So how much is it up to the actor? But I really think that if it was someone different or if it wasn't a really skilled actor, you'd get so easily lost in like the kind of loops that this makes your mind and your emotions do that you would be kind of like, I don't really care what this story is telling me, but he makes me care about what the answers to these questions are.
It's kind of like The Lobster in a way where the story is so insane, but you're connected to it because mm-hmm. of the actors.
Yeah.
Because if anyone, Jessica and I, when we went to go see this next movie that we're going to talk about shortly, we saw a trailer for a movie that reminded us of The Lobster about people like acting like animals.
Who think they're animals.
Who think, it's about people who think they're animals.
Yeah, it's called Wolf.
Who need to be sent to a clinic, to like a facility, to learn how to not be animals.
Yeah.
So it's like the opposite of The Lobster.
The lobster.
But it's absurd. Like we were laughing the entire, it's not a funny movie. We were laughing the entire time. Like, Lily Rose Depp would not do a funny movie. Like,
I don't know. That's the thing. We have no idea if she's good or not.
There's nothing we know.
We're gonna have to find out.
We know nothing. All this to say is this movie is authentic because of Joaquin, and it's kind of ironic that is why this movie is authentic, because of how much this movie deals with, like, all truths are valid.
Yes.
Dot, 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 but are they? Question mark.
Yeah. Yeah, because he's like, anything can be human connection. Can it? I don't know.
I don't know.
I don't know.
Do you know?
I don't know.
I don't know.
Because it really leads my mind in these fucking circles, because I'm like, well, no, the only real humans are humans that are born naturally. But it's like, but that's, in a way, it's a form of manufacturing.
It's true. Also,
just like AI is.
Think about it. Like, kids are born in petri dishes nowadays.
Yeah.
By that argument, would you say that they're not human? I would argue they are human.
I guess it's just they're not subject to the laws of nature and AI, or rather humans, like organic humans.
Certified organic humans.
Organic beings.
FDA approved humans.
are subject to the laws of nature, whereas like AI, it's all code. You know? Right,
but you have to remember that our brain is basically a giant algorithm.
I know. That's where it gets fucked up. And that's where, at the end of the day, whether it's real or not, he's feeling real shit, so it's real to him. Because he's fucking in love with an AI, bitch.
And dude, this is Ex Machina meets The Lobster meets Beginners.
It really is.
Meets, I guess, Joker, because Joaquin Phoenix is in it. The end. If you like any of those movies, go watch this movie. And you'll really like it.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's also got like kind of an iconic poster. So
yes. Also, I will add, I like any movie where like Joaquin, even for like a couple seconds, allows himself to like smile and be genuinely happy, because I feel like he's a kind of a downer.
Dude, he is a fucking downer. I think his Wikipedia page says that he plays like unfortunate characters or something.
And in Her, he has a lot of moments of like really genuine happiness.
Joy. It's joy.
So much joy. He makes jokes. He like gets drunk with Olivia Wilde at one point.
It's kind of crazy. Really funny. You mean John Mulaney's baby mama?
No, that's Olivia Munn.
Damn it.
I mean Jason Sudeikis's ex-wife. Partner.
Right. Harry Styles' ex-lover.
Yes, correct.
But also director of Booksmart.
Oh, director. Yes, correct. Correct.
Mostly director of Booksmart.
Yeah.
But also, like, when you date Harry Styles,
that's what you become. I'm
unfortunately,
sorry.
That's what you become.
Olivia, you did this to yourself.
But then you did direct Booksmart. So I don't. What is more fame?
She's everything and nothing.
What is more fame? What is fame? Is it Harry Styles or is it Booksmart?
Or is it AI?
Or is it AI? I guess we'll never know.
We'll never know. Shall we get into the third film?
The third and final film.
I'm excited to talk about this.
Take it away, Jessica, to the first film we've seen literally yesterday when it came out in the movie theater, and now we're here.
This movie is Come On, Come On, came out in 2021, written and directed by Mike Mills, who also made Beginners, as we said.
One of my favorite movies.
Favorite. Johnny, played by Joaquin Phoenix, is an emotionally stunted and soft-spoken radio journalist who travels the country interviewing a variety of kids about their thoughts concerning their world and their future. Then Johnny's saddled with caring for his young nephew, Jesse, played by Woody Norman. Jesse brings a new perspective and, as they travel from state to state, effectively turns the emotional tables on Johnny.
First of all, before we get into Joaquin,
yeah,
this fucker, Woody Norman, this like 8-year-old child.
Absurdly talented.
So good. So I was telling Jessica this as we were walking out of the theater, mm-hmm. but he reminds me like of the caliber of his talent at his young age. He reminds me of Jacob Tremblay
yeah.
in Room. When you were watching Room, you were like, you literally are sitting there in the theater or at home, depending on where you watch Room.
Right.
Both of which, in both rooms, I was sobbing. But you're watching Jacob Tremblay and you're like, whoa, this bean sprout can act.
Yeah.
And this Woody bean sprout can act.
Yeah. I have some complicated thoughts about child actors.
Me too.
Because I think it's interesting when we like reward them or when we're like, you're so amazing for a kid. And it's like, but when you're a kid, you haven't learned like filter and like keeping composure, etc. I mean, if you're a child with like a free childhood, at least you haven't learned these things yet. But, you know, if you're like fucking 8 or 9 years old, chances are your mind is very open and you feel really comfortable to kind of do whatever, because that's just like how you are. That's your childhood, like your childish nature, I guess. And so it feels weird to be like, you're an amazing actor when you're just kind of like doing your thing. But what I will say is that like this kid, Woody Norman, first of all, is British, apparently.
Whoa, good accent work.
Yeah, dude. Accent work.
Pause here, because in this case, the bean sprout can act.
Dialect work for a child is super impressive.
That is impressive.
And I think his instincts are really good, because so much of this movie feels super, super conversational.
It's very in the moment.
I really feel like there was probably a fair amount of improvisation going on in this script, and him and Joaquin have an absurd chemistry. Like, I genuinely believed that they were uncle and nephew.
I knew he was Papa and Beansprout. That's how I felt it in my soul.
In my soul bones.
I had forgotten during the movie that these were two actors playing parts.
Yes, it felt very documentary-like.
It felt so weird because it felt like a real story.
Yeah.
And a lot of that is the filmmaking, obviously. I mean, yes. Mike Mills, like, he really knows how to bring you into those small moments.
Mm-hmm.
But also, it's chemistry. Like, yeah. These two actors, Joaquin and Woody.
Woody.
Which, what a name for a child. Woody, yep. Norman.
Woody Norman.
Woody Norman.
Especially if he's English. Woody Norman.
Woody Norman. That's very American.
Woody.
It sounds very American
to me.
What if
his full name is, like, Woodward?
Woodward Normandy.
Woodward Norman. Woodward Normandy, come to the sitting room. Come to the parlor. Draw the blinds. Draw the blinds.
Would you like some tea, Woodward?
It's dark in here, Woodward. Draw the blinds.
Woodruff.
Woodruff. My sugars. You dropped them on Woodruff. The carpet.
We're going to see Big Ben. Woodruff.
Whoa, where's Big Ben now?
Piccadilly Circus.
I can't see him from my window.
Aaron is turning into a tomato.
Someone make him into a compote.
The first thing that Monica and I said to each other when we walked out of this theater was that this role is the most normal we've ever seen Joaquin be. He's just like such a fucking normal dude, but he's not like a dude with a weird like affectation. He's not like a dude with like a super tragic past. Like, there are things, but it's nothing dramatic.
Very ordinary.
He's super fucking ordinary. And he has like a really ordinary life in New York, and he's good at his job, and he has like a fairly solid relationship with his family. Like, I loved every minute of just seeing him exist as like a fully formed, mostly unproblematic figure, because you never get to see that. And it's so refreshing, especially for him, because he's usually like this sad, tortured man, or like there's something fucking weird about his character, aka Joker.
We're not going to talk about it.
And so he's just normal, and it's beautiful.
It's honestly so refreshing to see him play someone with both of his feet in his shoes.
Yes. Yes.
Which is, I swear to God, the best way I can describe this character.
Yeah.
Is both of his feet are inside of his shoes, and that's kind of it. That's where the line gets drawn in the sand. And the only places where he finds any kind of like joy or pleasure are with the people that he loves and doing what he loves.
Yes.
And again, very ordinary, right? Like, the average human being finds joy in the people they love and what they do, mm-hmm. right? Their passion, their hobby, the thing that they love the most, right? And in this movie, he's allowed to just exist.
Yes.
And that is so gorgeous to see, and it ultimately ended up being such a beautiful experience, mm-hmm. to be in the theater watching him cycle through these emotions of learning how to become a parent,
yes,
of learning how to be a role model, of learning how to like be there for a kid whose world is not super stable. Both of his feet are in his shoes, though, and he has to learn that he, for once, is not like the unreliable one.
Yes,
he is in a position of stability,
mm-hmm.
and he can impart that onto his nephew and onto his sister.
Yeah. Yeah. I was reading a review of this movie, and someone had reviewed it like poorly, and they were like, it's boring, nothing happens, everything comes so easily to him, et cetera, et cetera. And I was like, that's the thing is like, yeah, the movie is relatively easy in the sense that there are no like huge conflicts. Nothing. There are like little things slash the circumstances under which Jesse has to be with Johnny on the road. It's because his mom, who's played by, what the fuck is her name? I forget her name.
She's really good. Like
she's really good. She plays one of the sisters in Transparent. She's an incredible actress and she's so, so good in this. But anyway, she plays the mom and she has to go to like Oakland to be with her son's father because he is, I think, bipolar, or you're led to believe something along those lines.
It's very unspecified, which I actually really appreciate because it's not about him.
Exactly. It's not about that. But so she has to go be with him and like help him. So Jesse has to stay with his uncle.
Gabby Hoffman.
That's her name.
Incredible. Like
incredible actress.
If I'm being honest, if this movie was about her character, I wouldn't have been mad about it.
No, me neither.
I really wouldn't have, because this movie focuses a lot about parenthood and about mothers. There's this whole like theme about motherhood that is like weaved into this whole story from beginning to end. It's about Joaquin's character's mother. It's about siblinghood. It's about like figuring out the best way to be a parent, only to realize there is no best way to be a parent.
Yeah.
You just keep fucking up,
figuring it
and
out,
fucking up and learning from the fuck up and then fucking up on something completely different.
Exactly.
And that's ultimately the secret sauce to repairing his relationship with his sister, to repairing his relationship with his nephew, and what brings everyone closer to like their own family unit and their own humanity by like just saying fuck all of the at one point they're literally reading off of a cell phone trying to like look up parenting advice.
Yes, it's and so funny.
It's such a funny scene because the kid's like, dude, like it's okay, you don't have to read it from the fucking phone, like just talk to me.
Yeah.
Like I think that's so beautiful and messy and weird to witness something that you know parents are doing in their homes right now.
Yes.
Is looking up, how do I talk to my kid about XYZ?
How do I do a repair with my child?
How do I apologize to my kid? Like, it's so cool to see all of these little things that make up a really imperfect family that is ultimately just a family.
Yeah, yeah. And like this review was saying, like, quote unquote, nothing happens. And I was like, well, we've seen the story 1,000 times of the guy who doesn't have his fucking life together, who gets forced into taking care of a kid somehow and being like a surrogate father for the 2 hours that the movie lasts. And he fucks up a bunch of times and it's crazy. But at the end of the day, he loves it and he really finds his paternal energy. Like we've heard that 1,000 times.
Wow,
and it is absurdly refreshing to see a movie where a man is happy to and willing to step into this role and nothing horrific happens.
It's charming.
Because people are capable. And it is not trendy to say not all men, but a lot of men are capable of taking care of children. And that is like one of the big things about this movie is that it is not just a woman's job. And like you can have a job and do it at the same time. And it can be fulfilling. And you can encounter small issues like losing your child in a store or on the streets of New York or something like that. And you figure it out. Like it doesn't have to be a whole fucking charade. Not everything that goes wrong in life is a huge to do. It all adds up in very small ways to an ultimately beautiful experience.
Yeah. And I think this movie tackles parenthood and specifically using Joaquin to fight tiny battles as opposed to trying to win this glorious sweeping war.
Yes.
That is obviously sexier. Like winning a war is much sexier. Fighting a war is much sexier. But like, you know, fighting these tiny battles and like you win some, you lose some, you lose the kid in the store, you accidentally like buy him the wrong toothbrush that like makes all this noise and you're fucking tired and like, why is this kid up? I'm feeding him ice cream. He's up. What is my life? And you can also like be in a forest or a meadow place and like yell at this kid and this kid yells back and it's super cathartic and it was great for him. And that's exactly what he needed in the moment. And that was a win. There are losses, there are wins, but this wasn't meant to be this like big sweeping, glorious conquest of a war. Like it truly was just, let's fight this battle. Okay, we won this one. Okay, let's fight the next one. Oh, we lost that one. Okay, next one. So like on and on and on, like real life.
Yeah. And I loved how like compassionate Joaquin was to his sister's character, because again, to your point about it not being a war, like whenever one of these small things would happen, I think in any other story, it would be like, we're not going to tell your mom, because if we tell your mom, it's going to be a huge fucking deal. No, every day he would go home and call his sister and he'd be like, yeah, this happened. And she'd be like, isn't that fucked up that that happens? And he's like, yeah, how do you do this?
And she goes, like, I don't know.
Seeing adults bond over something like this is beautiful. And Joaquin has this energy with Gabby Hoffman.
That their chemistry.
Like, they felt so, it felt like such a real relationship to me. Dude. Like genuinely this movie, I mean, I loved it when I stepped out of the theater, but the more I think about it, the more it grows on me, because his performance really was just the most authentic I have ever seen him. It might be one of my favorite things he's ever done.
It's, do you know what? It's genuinely my favorite thing he's ever done.
Yeah.
Like honestly over her and Walk the Line. And I don't know why. I think it's truly just because watching him exhibit insurmountable amounts of joy and also like feeling horrified at the same time encapsulates parenthood in a way that I honestly at this point in my life can't understand, yeah, but can recognize as being incredibly authentic. And like, he's a father to a son. Mm-hmm. It's so easy to see how effortless this comes to him,
yeah,
because you're seeing him like the wheels in his brain turn and churn and think about perhaps like instances where he fucked up with his son and that was okay, and yeah, like trying to navigate. Also, like, bro, this movie was low-key depressing because they were talking about like these kids, they interview all these kids about, yeah, like okay, what do you think about your future, and they're like, bitch, the planet's dying. Yeah, I literally don't even think fucked. I don't even think about tomorrow, like it's fucked up. But it's interesting because I never in my life thought about being a parent, mm-hmm, in this really insanely scary time. Like, you don't think about it until you stop and really think about it,
yeah,
and go, holy shit, you would be bringing a kid into a world that is half gone.
Yeah.
That is from blue to gray.
It's true.
Traumatizing.
It's insane. Like, and Joaquin is such a mysterious figure in real life that I think that's hit so hard because of the subject matter, obviously, and like the movie itself is beautiful, but like this is the first time we've ever really been able to see like, oh, I think I can kind of see who Joaquin Phoenix is actually as like a normal fucking person.
Which I hear he's so delightful.
Yeah, I mean, I hear he's an odd bird.
I hear he's like eccentric and weird, and he's currently sporting like a half-shaved haircut. Not like the sides, guys. The top is shaved and the sides are long.
What?
Yes, look it up. Look up, I challenge you today, look up on the Google machine or any, you know, Firefox. I'm not sure what you kids are using these days. Internet Explorer.
I'm Googling Joaquin Phoenix hair. Oh, no.
Oh, yeah. It is not great, but it makes him happy.
Joaquin Phoenix, 46, unveils gray hair and pot belly as he transforms his body yet again for a new role.
Who knows? What? He looked healthy.
Oh, he developed an eating disorder from doing Joker. Another reason that movie is awful.
It's okay, guys. Thank you. Okay, no. You know what? I don't feel bad about it. I didn't like that movie for a lot of reasons. I didn't like how it portrayed mental health. I didn't like a lot of the rhetoric around this movie. I didn't, mm-hmm, like what this movie made people do. Mm-hmm. By the way, need I remind you how many people like went out and tried to do bad things, mm-hmm, because of this movie? I'm not saying that it was the movie director's fault, and I'm not saying that the movie made people do things. I'm just saying,
I think it was an irresponsible portrayal.
It was an irresponsible portrayal. That's all that I'm saying.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously Joaquin is a talented master of his art. I mean,
he crushed what he was supposed to do.
He crushed what he was given.
But I will, okay. Okay, this is the thing I'm going to say about Joker, and it's not even about Joker. If you want to watch the Joker story told in a much better way, in a much better movie, in my opinion, just go watch The King of Comedy.
Facts.
It's the same movie, because plot twist, they pretty much ripped it off. And it's a much better and more interesting movie. Go watch it.
If you want to watch my favorite portrayal of a Joker, watch The Dark Knight.
Yes, do it.
Heath Ledger.
Very good.
Very good. Again, for whatever reason, this character, this role, really causes people to go off the deep end. So I almost feel irresponsible saying that like that's my favorite portrayal. He just did such a wonderful job. It's kind of the same like Catch 22, because Joaquin did an incredible job with what he was given. But I don't know, something about that character is like kind of cursed to me. It feels very odd that is something that, like, for example, do you know how many Halloween costumes, like couples costumes, I have seen of like the Joker and Harley Quinn?
Yeah,
and like
amount.
It's supposed to be adorable, but you really think about it and you're like, I don't know. I don't know about these guys.
This is like some Sid and Nancy shit.
I'm
not into it.
Am I the only person in this sitcom who is not laughing?
Yeah, it's a lot. But it also begs the question of like, well, is it the character's fault or is it the actor's fault for like going that deep into it rather than playing it like a comic book character? I don't know.
Or should there be more assistance on set? Like, the filmmaker, should the producers have foreseen the impact that a character like that would have had on the artists and gone, we should take extra precautions, we should have therapists on set?
But if they're going full method, they wouldn't utilize it.
I don't know. See, this is the reason why we didn't want to talk about Joker. Because
amongst other things,
you get into this fucking catch 22 of it all and you cannot win.
It's just not for me.
It's not for me either. It could be for you, we don't judge you, but it is not for
I
us.
Also just, I don't think we need to keep telling the story.
I agree. Let's leave it at Jack Nicholson.
We've done it enough, guys.
No one needs to, you know, everyone needs to love themselves. No one needs to like have an eating disorder because of this role. It's not worth it. Like, you know, it's just not worth it.
Yeah.
I hope that rumor is not true, but it's just not worth it.
I know.
Ugh. God.
Well, anyway.
That was Joaquin.
I love this man.
What a man. What a legend.
He's super fucking talented. It's not to say I love everything he's ever done, but I do love him. I think he's really interesting as a performer and a figure.
I think he's a true artist.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And I sound fucking pretentious as fuck. Like,
whatever.
Suck a dick.
We have a movie podcast.
It is what it is. I genuinely, like, there are actors, there are celebrities, and then there are artists.
Yeah, Joaquin's an artist.
He's an artist. Mm-hmm. He is someone who, like, lives and breathes what he does, and it's mm-hmm. because it's, like, how he expresses himself, how he moves through life.
Yeah.
So, 11 out of 10 from me.
Yes, girl.
It's going to be a yes from me.
That's a yes from me. All right, Monica, before we wrap up, what have you dabbled in?
I have dabbled in, literally since, what, two days ago
when we recorded?
When we recorded the last episode. I'm going to New York tomorrow. That's why we're recording two episodes in 1 week.
Wahoo.
Because I'm going to New York tomorrow. I'll be there for, I don't know, 7 days, something like that. Something crazy, something wild.
Fuck yeah.
I'm going to go see, I don't know, all the shows that are currently out right now. I think I have tickets for them. So I'm going to go see those.
Yes, girl.
I'm going to go to the Christmas market.
Yes, girl.
I'm trying to think of like other quintessential New York things. I can't really think of any.
Go to the Plaza.
Okay, I'll go to the, what?
I don't know.
What Plaza?
The Plaza Hotel.
Oh, the Plaza Hotel. No.
Eloise at the Plaza.
Oh, that reminds me. Madeline.
What about it?
Excellent film.
Starring Frances McDormand.
Yeah, and then also we watched the other one when we were having pizza night.
Animated series.
It was a cartoon
version.
Terrible. It was so bad, but it was also so good.
And the episode we were on is about how Madeline gets kidnapped and sold into child labor.
And like, they're making lace out of hair.
Yeah.
And like, they make the red lace out of the red hair and the black lace out of the black hair. I'm like, how did kids watch this? But I was so enthralled.
I was also enthralled.
I was engrossed. And there she was. Madeline. It was amazing. 11
so
out
good,
of 10.
So good.
What have you dabbled in?
Nothing, I guess. I mean, I got into grad school. Is that news to the podcast?
That is news to the podcast. I obviously knew.
That's exciting.
But everyone else
Very exciting for us.
It's very exciting. Tell the listeners what you're going to be doing in grad school.
I'm going to go be a therapist.
Yay.
It's very exciting.
Stay tuned for a new podcast in 6 years.
Yeah.
About... No, I'm not going to tell you guys the idea because you'll take it.
Yeah, you're going to take it.
In 6 years... Wait on it.
It is irresponsible, but we're going to do it.
It's irresponsible, but in 6 years' time...
When I am licensed.
When she is licensed, we're going to do it.
Exactly.
And you'll listen to it and you'll love it.
You'll love it.
You'll love it. Whether you love it or not.
All right. Well, as always,
don't sue us, Daddy Fevro.
Good night, Monica.
Good night, Jessica.